קודש טוב ומבורך.
חן למעלה.
Today's daf is daf Mem Aleph. We were holding on to two dots, four lines down, actually, beginning of the fifth line on daf Mem Aleph. The Mishnah said, Yurufanav minim harbe. We find the machlokes whether we should be mevarech on whatever it is that we like, which means whatever it is that is chaviv. Doesn't mean to randomly choose whatever is in front of you. Or, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you have one of the shivat haminim, then there is an adifut to taking one of the shivat haminim over any other type of food. Now, our assumption is at this point that you're making a single bracha. In other words, so you have a choice, you have rimonim, let's say, and apples. Which one would you say the bracha on? Because anyway, you're only going to be making one bracha. The bracha that you make on one is going to pot to the other, because both are birkat ha'etz. And there we understand that it's honorable, if you're going to be making the bracha on one to pot to the other, you should certainly make the bracha on the more chashuv one. There's other issues that we need to take into consideration. Things such as we've seen earlier. Earlier we had, remember, bar kaparaz hakfada, on the fact that someone would make a birkat shahakol when they could have made a birkat adama. But that's an issue. It may not be more important an issue than chavivut, but it certainly was an issue between the talmidim that were in front of him. So one could argue that if it would come to different brachot, let's say you have a borei priha adama, and then you have separately a borei priha itz. Which one is more mivurar? Which one is more specific? Obviously, the borei priha itz is more specific, because if you say borei priha adama, as we learned before, it will include generically itzim. So we go from shahakol to adama to itz. It's possible that there may be a separate din kedimah in all brachot that are more mevurarot than the other bracha. That's something to take into consideration. And the Bahag actually suggests this, that even though we don't find in the Gemara a hakpada on ha'etz and ha'adama, in the same way that we find a hakpada on shahakol versus ha'adama versus ha'etz, it could be that any bracha that's mevureret would be a reason to make that bracha. But for right now, we're assuming that we're talking about the same bracha. And therefore, that is not the issue here. I will soon argue that perhaps there's another issue. So far, what we've met in terms of the dine kidima, in terms of pure bracha, is a bracha mivureret, at least extremely different to mivureret. The Tosafot says over here, maybe an extreme, because shahakol is by definition generic. That's what shahakol is, everything. And anything is by definition more mivurar than everything. Right? So any specifically defined thing is on the opposite side of the spectrum than shahakol. Doesn't matter how or how little mivurar it is, it's infinitely more mivurar than shahakol. Therefore, Tosa suggests that maybe we shouldn't jump to conclusions and say that anything that's particularly more mivurar, there's, after all, there's a quantitative mivur and there's a qualitative mivur. The difference between shahakol and any other bracha is a qualitative difference. The difference between borei priha adama and borei priha eitz is only a quantitative difference in terms of mivur. So possibly we only say qualitative differences. This we'll discuss later, la halacha. So that was number one issue that we've met so far. Number two issue that has been introduced earlier in the Bar Kapara disaster was the question of chavivut, personal chavivut. What do you enjoy more? This, by the way, should not be mistaken to think that there's a din of kidimah when you have no intention of eating a food. There's certainly no kidimah when you have two things in front of you to tell you what to eat. Why should I eat something I don't want to eat? Some people make the mistake of thinking that there's, you know, well, you're supposed to make a shiva saminim. I really don't feel like eating, but I guess I have to. Because, of course, you don't have to. We're talking about in a case where you intend to eat. Now the question is, which one are you going to pick up and say the bracha on? So chavivut we have met. The birchat shivat haminim is what we're now interested in. And to determine the value of the shivat haminim over other minim, as opposed to even other minim that are chavivim, perhaps other minim whose bracha is yoter mevurar. In other words, we're going to have to now balance out all of these elements. And another issue we're not taking into consideration yet is how about within a shivat haminim? There certainly is a difference in the types of thing in the shivat haminim. Some of the shivat haminim actually are adama, such as the chita u'seora. Some have a bracha mevureret. So these are things which we will see now in the sugya. So the first thing that we need to question is whether the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan and the Mishnah was only speaking of a case where you're going to be making the same bracha anyway. So therefore, it makes perfectly good sense. You have a set of things that are all the same bracha. You're only going to be holding one at a time or eating one at a time. If you're going to be eating all of them, which one comes first? Makes a great deal of sense to say Shivat Abinim comes first. Therefore, it says, Ula, the only machloket between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim is only kishebirkoteim shabot. If they all have the same bracha, Rav Yehuda savar min shiva adiv, Rabbanan savrei min chaviv adiv. So we're talking over here about these two alternative factors. It's a question of the weight of each factor. According to Rabbanan, the weight of chavivut is greater than the weight of the objectively assigned shiva. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, objective classification is more weighty than personal classification. If you have two sets of things, then there's absolutely no connection between them. I mean, what are we comparing? Pomegranates and oranges? If there's same apples and oranges, you can talk about being a member of the same set. Are we talking about, Sonon and oranges? No, I meant what I said. Well, I was giving you an example of where we would, right? Yes, I am. I was saying, are we talking about pomegranates and oranges that should be a member of the same set? Yeah. All right. So in other words, there we have the question of Shivat HaMinim. Here we're not talking about pomegranates and oranges. We're talking about, let's say, radish and pomegranates. Huh? Now over there you've got two completely different sets, because in terms of bracha, of course, because you have two separate brachot. Over there, are you going to think that there's any concept of kidima and something that, one has nothing to do with the other? So why would I be mocked in one to the other? Now, of course, it's possible I might be mocked in one to the other because of the suga habiracha, which the question is more mevurah or not more mevurah. Tosfos points out that the Gemara's rejection of that even as an issue at this point implies that the Bahag's psak, which is that he says that there is actually quantitative birur, not only qualitative birur, certainly is not true according to Gemara's argument at this point. Gemara does not consider the possibility of taking the bracha of ha'etz first because it's more mevurar and then going to the ha'adama. The other thing that we're not taking even as a possibility at this point is to consider that if the bracha, for instance, on the radish is a borei pri ha'adama, then perhaps one should say the more generic bracha and include within it the ha'etz. Because after all, you're yotzei ha'etz if you say ha'adama. That's another question. So here we're just rejecting all of it, saying that certainly if you're talking about having to make two separate brachot, then there Rav Yehuda would never have suggested that the min shiva would be adif, because it's unrelated. We don't have two brachot, now two species that are vying with each other. We have two brachot that are vying with each other. So if there's a din in the bracha, fine. Well, what din in the bracha is there? So, divrei akol mevarech al zeh, bechozer mevarech al zeh. And Rashi explains that even though we said before that if you say ha'adama, your yotze shel eitz, explains that that's obviously only where you made a mistake. And you said ha'adama on something that you should have made a eitz, and accidentally you made ha'adama. There you would be yotze. But certainly doesn't mean that where your intent is to make a adama on something which is a adama, that you'll be yotze be ha'etz on something which is ha'etz, which you have every intent of making separately. So basically, and on this we ask, this assumption that there would be no din of kidima where things are not part of the same set, we ask from the following brayta. Hayu lefanav tznon v'zayit. In fact, here's a case of a radish and an olive. Mevarech al tznonu poter et hazayit. Now, this is the worst possible thing that we could have said, because it violates all aspects of our preconceptions. We assumed, first of all, that you would never be mevorech a hadama lechatchila on ha'etz, even where you have something else. That was a given. We didn't even think about that. Right? And here it's saying, well, no, on the contrary, let's think about that. We have the tzon and the zayit. Why don't we just make a bracha on the tzon and pater the zayit? Right, okay. Here we're talking about things that are bichlal, they're members of different sets in every way. Says the Gemara, no, it couldn't mean that. Doesn't mean you're going to make a bracha separately on a tznon and a zayit. We're talking about the din of ikar and tafel here. So in other words, someone essentially is eating a radish salad. The radish salad is rather overwhelming taste. So he flavors the radish salad to break the radishy taste, flavors it with a couple of olives in there. We ought to try this sometimes. It's one of these outrageous mixtures. Often these outrageous mixtures end up tasting very good, I find. Huh? So when we do our siyum, maybe we should take the more outrageous part of it. Right? Yeah, you never know. And so that's what it's talking about. So there, of course, I mean, the rule is you make a bracha on the ikar. If the ikar is adama, what's the difference? It certainly is going to pot to the eitz. Says the Gemara, now wait a minute. That can't be true. Because take a look that here, and this is the other part of the question, Rabbi Yehuda says, mevorach al hazayit. Whoops. I thought you said, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we never would have argued if they're two separate brachot, because they're parts of two separate sets. So this shatters all of our preconceptions, right? Now, you're wrong about Rabbi Yehuda, and you're wrong about the not being mevorach a less mevorach bracha, the pater the more mevorach bracha. So it says over here that in this case, it's better to make the bracha on the zayit, because the zayit is one of the shivat haminim. Now, certainly, Rabbi Yehuda is not arguing on the principle that when you have an ikar, you make the bracha on the ikar, and you put it to the tefillah. I mean, that's crazy. The machloket over here between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan is the standing machloket, I assume, as to whether there's a din of kidima of shivat haminim above and beyond the chaviv. That means we're not talking about a case of a radish salad. We're talking about a guy who has two separate things to make a bracha on, and nonetheless, according to the Rabbanan, we don't even worry about the more mevurah bracha. We say the less mevurah bracha in order to pater the more mevurah bracha. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, there is still a din of kedima of shivat haminim, despite the fact that they're not a member of the same set of brachot. What are you going to do about that? V'chilet leila Rabbi Yehuda. Certainly you're not going to tell me that Rabbi Yehuda argues on the general principle in the Mishnah, that certainly is not the machloka, right? Well, why not? The chitema, I mean, try to tell me why not. Go ahead, I dare you. The chitema, you try to tell me, yeah, maybe he doesn't hold of that. We know he holds of that. Because Vatanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, we have a further definition of this case, in which Rabbi Yehuda says, im machmat atznon ba'azayit. If, in fact, you're eating a radish salad, and the olive is only there for taste in the salad, so then, of course, I agree that you're mevorach al hatznon upoteret hazayit, which means that the machloket reviewed in the Rabbanan was specifically the case where the zayit was not coming to flavor a salad. So now, how can you assert that there's no machloket in a case where the two elements that you need to be mevorach on are members of separate sets? That's a problem. But, we must misunderstand this price. But maybe the way to understand it is this. I agree with you that tznon is the ikar. Yes. But that's the case. The machloket, of course, is not about whether ikar v'tofel, whether we go according to the ikar. There's a sub-machlokus in this brayta. The way to understand it is like this. Ki pligi Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbanan v'mil d'achriti pligi. There's obviously a piece missing in this brayta. I would suggest we read it as follows. Hochik tov. Hayu lefanav tznon v'zayit. Mevorech al hatznon. Upoteret hazayit. This is the opening assertion of the brayta. Make a bracha on the radish. Now, insert. Where would we say such a thing? Only where it's a salad of radish, and therefore you're making a broth on the radish. In a case where you have radish or olive, everybody would agree, you make a bracha basically on whatever you want, separately. This is a continuation of our insertion. In a case where you would have two similar minim that are members of the same set, then, okay, back to the Braita. In which case it's only repeating the same makloka that we have in the Mishnah. Nothing new is being introduced here. And actually, the way I very conveniently changed the Lashon and the Braita, it ends up supporting every single contention that I made. Iker Pater's Tafel. Kishabirchotem Shavot is a machlok rebut and rabbonah. Kishain Birchotem Shavot, everybody's vote you make on either one that you want. You certainly will never pater an eighth with Hadamah. There you go. All four assertions are proven by this Braita with a few gentle adjustments here and there. We massage it into shape when we need to. So, now, truth is, pleadi bo rabami v'Rav Yitzchak Nafka, this assertion that we've made, Ula's assertion, that the machlokas is only where the brachot are similar, is actually a machlokas. Chanomer machlokas kishibir koteim shavot, the Rav Yudah Sabar min shiva adiv, rabbonet sabre min chaviv adiv. One of these bandi omer, well, we don't know which one, but one agrees with Ula. And he says the only machloket is if you have a single set of brachot within the set, which one is more important, chavivut or shivat haminim? Aval b'she'in birchoteim shavot, we cannot compare now radish to pomegranates. They simply have no basis of comparison, and therefore there would be no point in any type of analysis of whether Shivat Aminim is for you. What bread, make a broth, whatever you like. Mevorek al zeh, v'chozer mevorek al zeh. But the other man Yomar argues on Ula's contention. V'chadamar, af b'she'en birchoteihem shavot, nam im machlok. But actually, they would be arguing even in two separate sets. Now, in two separate sets, obviously we're opening up a whole new door to Kedima, correct? Because the concept that we had of Kedima was until now always a question of the species that the bracha will pater. Not which bracha to make. Now you're introducing a whole new idea. You're saying there's a concept of which bracha to make even first, based on the species, not on the bracha. Boy, that's a whole different way of looking at it. So, okay, I understand the way that we've been learning until now. Shavir makes a great deal of sense. Having established that there's no difference in the brachas, I'm going to make the bracha anyway. So now the question is, on which particular fruit from within the set, or vegetable from within the set, is it more of a kavod for the bracha to be set on? But if you're arguing now where you have separate sets, so how would it establish now a greater kavod? Well, what would be the basis of that machloket? So, iman diomer b'shein berchoteim shavot plige, b'may plige. What are they arguing about? Omer b'yirmiya lahakdi. The machloket over here is in terms of the objective value of shivat haminim, not value within the context of the bracha, but rather an external value of the Shivat Haminim. The Omer of Yosef, Yitema Rabbi Yitzchak, kol ha-mukdam b'posek zeh, mukdam le-bracha. Actually, the organization of the posek that lists the Shivat Haminim, and kol shekein exterior to the list itself, in other words, if it's a question of this set versus another set, Shivat Haminim, any of the above, versus any of non-Shivat Haminim, certainly Shivat Haminim will be more kosher, because even within the set of Shivat Haminim, we consider the greater shevach of Eretz Yisrael, despite the fact that it may be a hadamah, to be more valuable than the ha'etz, which is a lesser shevach of Eretz Yisrael, because it comes later in the pasuk. So you're telling me that if it's an Eretz chitah with se'ora, then despite the fact, Richie, that I would be making a hadamah on it, it would come first anyway, even though it's a different bracha. So that means that what we're saying now is that ignore the bracha. Look at the honor of making a bracha. Any bracha. There's an honor involved in what a person should eat, what he should relate to. If you're going to be eating two things, then eat the one which is the shevach of Eretz Yisrael, and then decide what bracha to make on it. This is Rabbi Yehuda Shita. He's going, therefore, now according to what it is that Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yitzchak are saying. That kol ha-mukdam b'pasuk zeh, mukdam le-bracha. And actually there's some Rishonim who say that it isn't that the Rabbanan argue on this assertion. It's just that the Rabbanan say chaviv is still more chashuv. Okay? You understand why that appears to be profoundly wrong, that assertion. Do you understand why it appears to be profoundly wrong? Let me explain to you why. The Gemara is shocked by the fact that we would consider the Kedima outside of the set. Correct? Okay. What is so shocking about that? We're very used to it. I labored here under the table without you realizing it to get through to you what is so shocking about it. What's shocking about it is that all along we believed, until this moment, that the kedima had nothing to do with the thing that you're eating. It had to do with how to apply the bracha to a thing that you're eating. We're certainly not going to say that there exists some type of objective, non-bracha-oriented kedima to something which comes before the bracha. Now we're saying, no, there is. Forget about the bracha. It has nothing to do with bracha. These things are more important. Even if you don't believe in brachot, if you're going to eat a pri from Eretz Yisrael first. What the heck? That's the Zionistic approach. Don't make the bracha, but take the perot of Eretz Yisrael. Essentially, that's what the Gemara is saying, right? That this thing exists outside of the context, really, of the idea of bracha. Bracha is a way in which I express that honor. Now that's a whole new idea. Never did we see that there should be a concept of chavivut outside of a set. That's absurd. Why would we change our mind about that? It makes much more sense to continue our assumption that other elements are only within the set, such as chavivut. We would never take a chavivut to say, first decide what you like, then worry about what bracha to make about it. Correct? Because the chavivut is only an expression of honor of the bracha. I mean, what's the question of honoring the fruit with my chavivut? You see? So it's much more likely that we should follow, according to the Surah Sasugya in the Gemara, that this is only true Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda, who says that we have now a concept of external to the idea of the set of the bracha, a general din of mukdam. So they're arguing a new concept called kedima. I mean, otherwise you can laugh at the Gemara. What do you mean? We're always talking about kedima. You're asking me, what are they arguing about? Oh, we figured it out. They're arguing about kedima. Well, obviously they're arguing about it. What else have we been talking about? You understand? It's a completely different kedima here.
Well, the Rabban will be the same age, I mean, she is. So.
No, it's a non-issue. It's worse than that. It's a non-issue, according to them, because it's out of the set. Yom Rabbi Yosef Yitem Rabbi Yitzchak, Kol HaMukdam B'Pasuk Zeh, Mukdam Livracha, Shenemar Eretz Chita U'Sora V'Gefen U'Te'ina V'Rimon, Eretz Zeit Shemen U'Dvash. Now this argues in Rabbi Chanan. Yom Rabbi Chanan, the Pasuk has nothing to do with Kedima vis-a-vis Brachot. The Pasuk actually is listed in dinim of shiurim, kol ha-pasuk kulo le-shiurim ne'emar. And when it says chita in the pasuk, that's coming to tell me a shiur in the Torah. We know that there's a halacha of ha-nichnas le-bayit ha-menuga. So we have the boel ha-bayit. There's a special din which is called Tumat Biyah. It sounds like Tumat Ohel, but it isn't. Because in Tumat Ohel, if you have a mate in a bayit, it doesn't matter whether that's the makom of the mate, it's just that it should be momentarily within the same space. There it's a spatial issue. Here it's a home issue. It needs to be a place where something is settled. So therefore, we have two completely different dinim. Anichnas labayit hamenugah, somebody who walks into a house that has a nega, v'keilav akitefav, v'sadalav v'tabahotav biyadav. He's carrying his shoes draped over his shoulders. It looks like he's just coming in from running a marathon or something at a beach. And iced coffee. And he's holding his rings in his hands and so on. So, who veint me in miyad? Everything is tummy, because it was nifmas l'bayit hamenuga. But, haya lavush kelav esadalav raglav tabaotav beetzbootav. He's wearing his shoes. Now, over there, we have a new halacha, because the Torah separates the boyal habayit from the ochel babayit. Ochel babayit yichabeset begadav. Now, what's that supposed to mean? So, there's two different elements of bayit hamenuga. Someone who walks in and someone who eats. If he eats, then he has to also be mechabesh what he's wearing. Now that doesn't mean literally to eat. It means the shiur of eating, because it can't mean literally eating, since the pasuk ends with the words vashochev babayit. So if it's shochev, then it's not achila. So what is the achila being mentioned for, bichlal? To give me the amount of time that the person should be shochev in the bayit. How much is that time? And that is the amount of time achi yishev ichte achilat pras. The amount of time that it would take to eat a pras is considered to be a ochel babayit. But what type of pras? Are we talking about rye bread, barley bread? What type of pras are we talking about? Kamash mon eretz chita, pat chitim velo pat saorim. And when we're talking about eating, it means eating normally. Mesav, you're relaxed, concentrating on your food, and your ochlan beliftan, you're eating them with whatever you would put spread over the bread. That's part of the tzurata achila.
Why should it matter what grain is made of?
Because it's harder to chew, and it takes a longer time to eat a coarser bread. Seora, that's not. The next thing mentioned in the pasuk is also a shiur in the Torah. What would be the tuma of a mate that is not metame ba'ohel, but that is still metame b'magav b'masa? The shiur of a bone, the size of a seora. The next word in the pasuk, gefen. Gefen is also a shiur. It's a shiur of kidei revi'it yayin l'nazir. This does not mean what it appears to mean, because otherwise it would be a travesty. What it sounds like it's saying is, if you drink a kezias of wine, a revias of wine, you're chayev, which of course has nothing to do with the shear. That has to do with the issue of drinking wine. No. What it means over here is, given that there is a shear of revi'it, now that shear of revi'it is true not only about wine, it's true about pieces of vine, grapes. It's all azir for nazir, and it's all the same shear of revi'it. How large is a revi'it? That's our question. You'd say, well, a revi'it of any liquid is the same as any other, isn't it? No. Why no? Because the surface tension is different of different liquids. And the revi'it includes also as much as you can put into the cup without overflow. Therefore, the shear of a revi'it has to be measured in terms of the viscosity of wine and not of water. So it means exactly what chita meant, and exactly what sa'ora meant. It's being used as a definition of shir, not of isser. It's purely coincidental that the shir that it's been used for happens to be a shir of drinking wine, or of vineyards. That's a coincidence. If a nazir was usser and eating popcorn, it would still be the shir of kidei revi'is yayin. It's just a little misleading, the way that it's...
Kidei revi'is, it's a liquid measure into a solid measure.
Fill up a cup. So that's our shear of yain. Te'ina. Ah, to Einaz for Hotza'ah on Shabbat. A shear of a grogeret, which is a dried fig, is the amount that you're chayev on for Hotza'ah of foodstuffs on Shabbat. How about a rimon?
Ah,
a rimon, that's there to tell me that kol klei ba'alei batim shiuran kerimonim. When you're perhaps you're a manufacturer of kalim, then you throw out the kalim that have holes in them. But if you're a balabaya, then you already own that old couch. You know how long it takes to get rid of the couch? The same thing is true about kalim. It's my favorite bowl. It's got a hole. Okay, so don't put salad in it anymore. So now you can keep it for nuts. The hole gets bigger. All right, so now you can serve. In the end, the hole gets so big, the only thing you can put in it is rimonim. But that's the maximum. Watermelons, we don't go through. So mamela, once it has the hole the size of a rimon, it now becomes tahor. It's no longer roif for kabbalat tumah. Eretz zeit shemen. Oh man, that's it. Why does it say Eretz Zeit Shemen that way? Everything else, it just sort of says the words. When it comes to Zayit, it makes a big deal. You know why? Because man, Zayit's it. That's like everything in Zayit. Eretz Shekol Shiorea Kezeitim. Kol Shiorea. I mean, we just had a few that were Zeitim. Salkadaitach Kol Shiorea. Ahika Anar Di Amoran. What about the ones mentioned above? I mean, Eretz Sherov Shiureak is a big one. Well, first of all, any type of achilat isur, right? I mean, whatever you're talking about. Dam, notar, figov, chelev, whatever. Then you have also the question of the of tuma. You know, you have the tumas maga. You have tuma for nevelis. You have ohel, basar hames. All of these things are kizesim. So you got a whole long list of kizesim. There's only a couple of things.
You thought you wouldn't know. I'm testing my inner eye. Is it dangerous polarization?
I mean, it's one thing to sit behind, but directly behind. There's a message in there somewhere.
He's trying to light up a vision.
So we're talking about Eretz Zeit Shemen. Really fits in beautifully. The pasuk goes out of its way to talk about the special chashivut of the Zayit, and then Dvash. What's the Dvash? The Dvash is how much you eat on Yom Kippur in order to be chayiv, because Yom Kippur, there is no Isser of eating on Yom Kippur. There's only an Isser of not being included in a nefesh shalot uneh, v'nichrata. What is inui? Well, what satisfies, what takes away inui is the shear of a large Timara, Kotevet Agasa, which is Dvash. Dvash in the Torah doesn't refer to honey made of bees, by bees, but rather to honey that comes from Timarim. Ve'ida. What would the other Mandi Omer do with that? It's pretty impressive. He says, okay, yeah, it's pretty impressive homiletically, but come on. I mean, honey shir me'ed yamiktiv, that doesn't say anything about this in the Pasuk. It lists a lot of different things, and you stick in all the added information, and now you say that's what the Pasuk is about. I mean, that's not what the Pasuk is about. The Shiurim are written in this Pasuk. The Pasuk, the Shiurim are only Darabanan, or actually elsewhere, wherever we had this, in Eretz we had it, Sukkah we had it, it says Shiurim Hilchot Aninu. Now, sometimes we use the word Rabbanan, meaning that the Rabbanan defined and, you know, set down, like the Rambam calls it Divrei Sofrim, so on, even the Divrei Kabbalah. So midrabanan, cross smachta b'yalma. I mean, we're using the pasuk. By the way, the deal of smachta b'yalma is a major, my focus with Shonim, you should know, a rather bitter one. The Rambam asserts in the Mar Nevuchim that the meaning of an smachta b'yalma is precisely that. The Rabbonin used a mnemonic in order that you should be able to constantly remember these things. They stuck it onto the pasuk. The Ritva is very bitter about that. He says it's like divrei minut. Sounds like an ancient Slifkin argument here. And he says that, of course, the Kro Esmach B'Alma actually means that the Rabbanan search for remuzim, which are intended by the Torah, which are not binding, because they're only remuzim, don't follow the Midot Shatara Nidreshet Behem, but nonetheless are meant to be usable and applied as necessary. So whether that would apply to this particular case where we're all agreed at Salah HaMoshe Sinai, and that the Ritva would nonetheless insist that that too is a concept of an asmakta is not so pushy, because there's many different types of asmaktas, different types of derabbanans. But in any event, the word asmakta bi'alma, we should be clear about what we mean. Certainly you're left open to the other explanation, the pasuk al pshuto, that we're talking about the value of the actual peirot of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore there should be kedima of peirot. Now Rav Chisda and Rav Amnuna were sitting in a sukkah, and they bring timarim and rimonim in this sukkah. Now it's clear, and this actually opens up the next sugya, which is what about making a bracha on fruit in the middle of a seudah? Because, I mean, by the way, it's clear that they made a bracha on the fruit even though they were in the middle of eating. So they already made a motzi. So it must be that the teinim and the rimonim or the anavim that they brought in the seudah, it's talking about that it wasn't coming as part of the seudah. It was there for a break, so to speak. It wasn't for the pot. Well, it wasn't a dessert either. We'll talk about that.
It was a palate cleaner.
Yeah. Like correct. That's exactly what it's just to clean your mouth in, you know, between courses and so on. So, Rav Amnuna goes, and he makes a bracha on the tamarim, and he allows that to patur now the rimonim, and Rav Chisda was shocked. Oh, my Rav Chisda, what? Let's really marlo the Amr of Yosef, take Rav Yosef, kol ha-mugdam b'kosuk ze, kodem livracha. I don't understand. The tamarim is the last thing mentioned in a pasuk. Eretz zeit shemen udvash. Boom. You close the whole list of Shiva Saminim with dvash. And you went ahead and you made a broch on the dvash first, before the rimon. Makes no sense. Amale. Oh, it makes a great deal of sense. Zesheni laaretz vezechamishi laaretz. Eretz, zeit, dvash. Dvash is two steps away from Eretz. Eretz, vital, sorav, regefen, and so on, brings you to five. So you're up to Rimon, right? So one is five from Eretz, and one is two from Eretz. So which one comes first? Boy, did Rav Chisda was blown away by that. Oh, my, wow. Man yoyev lo nagre de parzala. I wish I had legs made out of iron. I'd follow you for the rest of my life. That's unbelievable.
Do we pass it like that?
Yeah, sure. As Tosis points out, though, there still would be a kedima of two and two. In other words, if it's a choice between the pita of the seora and the chemin of the vash, the first eretz is more fashion than the second eretz. So in other words, Saora 2-1 is better than the Dvash, which is 2-2.
Right.
2-2. All right. Yeah. Yes, we have a sub Kedima Safar.
Now, this is, forgive me if I'm asking maybe something you said, but how about if you don't want the first fruits of the Shiva? You want one of the latter fruits.
You want.
I don't want it at all. I don't want chita, so I'm not going to eat the other shivatim anyway.
No, so then of course it's not nogea.
It's only if you're going to eat all the fruits.
We did discuss this before, however, in the little gap which comes between Go and David. But the question of how far that extends is an interesting question. That's already my modern posting. In other words, it's not good. Suppose you do intend to eat it. You just don't like eating it first. Now, those who assert that there's never any din of asking you to change what you intend to eat at this particular point, that's clear. You have to have an intention of eating this thing now.
Isn't it called by the Shiva Kamini?
No, I'm saying to define that any of these dinim of Kedimot, that Kedimot are only where you have two things that you want to make a bracha on. You don't have two things you want to make a bracha on when I make you make a bracha. So the only time we make you make a bracha is on Yayin, where you're doing something, Abdullah, Kiddush, and so on, and the pot, where there's a chiyuv of Seudah on Shabbos, and so on. Otherwise, the bracha is up to you. Itzma, hevil vifnehem te'enim v'anavim betoch ha-seudah. And so this now opens up the next question. You're in the middle of a meal, te'enim v'anavim are brought to the table, and they're there only as, what was that word you used, Oven? sounded really high class.
Palate pleaser or palate cleanser, really?
Palate cleanser. Now that's nice. A palate cleanser. Okay, so that's what they brought them for. And Rashi's Lashon is a mouth sweetener. The Matekit Peek. Okay, same idea. I mean, his is cuter. No.
Yeah.
Palate cleanser.
Okay. Rashi was cuter. I thought Rashi's was cuter.
Well, no, but I mean, his doesn't. There's no alliteration. I mean, you know, a palate pleaser. Well, that's really nice. Palate polisher, palate pleaser. I mean, if we had Agnew here, he would probably go to town on this. All right, Richie, what people don't remember. Continues. Vice president was only chaos, was alliteration. From Maryland, no less.
He ended up in jail.
What do you expect?
He ended up in jail, you know.
Actually, he was actually a talented fellow. All right, so what do you do? Omer Avuna Tunim Bracha L'Tzmeihem. Look, you got to make a bracha before them, because no other bracha pot to them. They're not coming to eat together with your soda, really, with the pot. So they can't say the pot is the ikar. So you'll have to make a Baruch Priya Eitz. But you don't need to make a bracha after them to make a bracha Achad Mi'ein Shalosh, because the Birkat HaMazon includes everything that's eaten in the course of the Suda, and these things would be part of that. So they're subsumed by Birkat HaMazon. Reb Sheshe says, well, why wouldn't they need a bracha after them? Te'unim bracha bein lifneihem bein l'achareihem? She'ein lecha davar she'ta'un bracha lefanav ve'ein ta'un bracha le'acharav. There's no such thing as something that would have only a bracha beforehand and yet requires no bracha after, unless, and here comes some of the most horrific words in all of Shas, in which three words have given birth to many, many books, except for pat haba b'kisanim bilvad. Oh, no, we finally got to it. So the only time we have such a thing is bread that comes with pockets. Oh, boy. So we start with first of all, a relatively minor problem, which is assuming we know what bread that comes with pockets is. So Rashi suggests that you have over here, but what we would call Danishes. In other words, you make it so that you have a nut mixture, nut and honey mixture inside, and then you cover it over, so it's like a little pocket that contains these flavorings. But the thing is that in Rashi, we have a whole new approach. Rashi says we're talking about having finished the meal. And we already said Birkat HaMazon. And amazingly, what we're talking about, according to Rashi, is eating these small little, what they call pastry tables, in which, generally speaking, as opposed to Jewish weddings, but generally speaking, you're supposed to take one of these things.
One of these kinds. So,
I mean, the idea of, exactly, the idea of one of each kind to decide which kind you like and then to eat. That was something.
One at a time.
So, therefore, they're not. I mean, here's the question of why in the world you would be putter from a brocha achrona. Rashi says you're potter from a bracha achrona, despite the fact that we're talking about after Birkat HaMazon, and he compares this to eating rice cakes. He said, a rice cake you would be potter from a bracha achrona, because Zacharav lo klum. Papa Baba Kisnin is like eating rice cakes. There's all kinds of discussions. Why the heck would it be like eating rice cakes? I mean, even if it would be eating the minim that are inside, it wouldn't be like eating rice cakes. And so again, there's some who explain it in terms of it not being derech akila. Normal people take one of these things, not a handful, and therefore it's a shaluk derech akila.
So it's not a shiur?
It's not meant to have a shiur. It's served in order to be a taste, and not in order. You just finished eating, for God's sake. You're done. It's like the borscht belt.
Is it like the equivalent of an after dinner mitzvah kind of thing?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly that kind of thing.
A little piece of dessert.
A little piece of dessert. It's a beautiful idea.
So it's understood it's going to come after the benching beforehand?
Yeah. It's, you're not meant really to be making a Brokaw grown up. Anyone who hasn't been in the Borscht Bowl cannot conceive of the way that the eating begins after the eating ends. Immediately. It's just a different room.
And the tea room.
What's constant.
Why is it called pas?
Because it's not maisa kedeira b'yalma. It's made as a bread dough, a thick dough, but it's flavored.
But it's certainly not.
Again, we are going to see that pata baba kisnin has many, many different approaches in terms of the consistency of the dough, in terms of the flavoring of the dough, in which is the airline buns in which they use apple juice instead of water, for instance, in terms
that
of the fact
that
And then there's the idea of the actual pocket, that there's other things there. Then, of course, gets the issue, can you add the other things afterwards? Do they have to be baked together with the thing? Which is a whole other issue. That's one of the pizza issues.
But you wouldn't know anything about that.
Which is that was a big...
big issue in Richie's place. Was it really there because the pot potted you from the brocha? Since you were so high, you couldn't make the brocha.
I think Rav Moshe said that one slice of pizza is just a mezonah.
We'll talk about this whole shiur when we get to the question. Kriyutz Uda. But in any event, others learn that it's a function of shape. If something is shaped differently and isn't shaped like bread, it's shaped like a dessert, and that makes it a dessert. This also is not a tzura of lechem, it becomes included in the pata baba kisnin. We already saw the issues of shape earlier. Okay, all of these things we'll talk about. This is a very important halachic review, which maybe it's kedai to do during the week, like we did last week when we got to big sugya. If you guys are willing, we could do it tomorrow's Yerushalmi day, but how about
Yom Shishi? Not Wednesday.
Okay, but we could do it Tuesday if people are willing. I wouldn't want people to miss this one.
Sure.
It's a really central pata baba kisnin. Okay, so Bezrat Hashem Tuesday morning after the daf, we'll get into a pata baba kisnin. You'll be here, you'll still be in.
Empty your pockets for this.
Till Thursday.
Thursday. That's a long trip, Eric.
Yeah. Come back Wednesday.
You're going a lot of skiing. Too late.
A lot.
Ooh. Right. Okay.
Anything works for me as long as there are batteries.
Oops. It went okay. All right. So according to Rashi, amazingly, he learns that Rav Huna is talking about eating this after the meal. V'chein amar Rav Nachman, tu'unim bracha lifneihem, ve'in tu'unim bracha l'achreihem, and Rav Shesh Shlomo tu'unim bracha bein lifneihem bein l'achreihem, she'in l'cha davar shatun bracha l'tanav, ve'in tu'un bracha l'acharav, ela pat abav kisvim bilvad. Now, Pliege de Rabbi Chia. This seems to argue on Rabbi Chia's assertion. The Omer Rabbi Chia pat poteret komine ma'achal, v'yayin poter komine mashkim. Now Rashi learns pat poteret. Whether you're talking about the bracha rishona, bracha achrona, all things that are coming, but he assumes it means that are coming to eat together with the pot. And yayin is going to poter every type of drinks that are coming as chasers following the wine. So now you won't make a bracha on the water that you drink after the wine, and you'll only make a bracha on the wine. You won't make a bracha on the coke that you drink after the wine. So if you say a borei pri agefen, forget about a bracha on the Coca-Cola.
Is that only in the Suda?
Oh, that's a question. How much wine you have to drink? That's already a big issue in the poskim. Some learn it's dafk if you drink a kazayit, a revias, or some learn it's dafk if you're the one who made the bracha, not if you're a yotz in a bracha. That, again, we'll talk about that issue. It's a smaller point here.
Is there any possibility that
the
pasuk was also referring to
pasuk baba kisnin? No. Omer of Papa, Hilchot Advarim Abaim Machmata Suda Betocha Suda. Now, here again. Rashi learns, this is a major machloket, things that are being brought in the meal, that are because of the meal, which Rashi understands to mean, they are there to be eaten with bread, will not be eaten on their own. Ain to unim bracha, lo lifneihem ve'lo l'achreihem, they require no bracha. However, If they're coming shalom achmata su'uda betocha su'uda, if they're not going, again, according to Rashi, they're not going to be eaten together with the pot, but rather these are things that can be eaten alone and they have their own, say you have a quiche in the middle of a meal. That quiche is unrelated to the pot because you'd eat the quiche by itself, not together with the pot. So over there, ein tu'unin bracha la'achareihem, those kind of things that are coming, shalom achmat asuda, they may need a bracha lishmehem, they don't need a bracha la'achareihem. Things that are coming li'achar hasu'uda, if they're meant to come after the su'uda, then even if they're brought in the middle of the su'uda, again, this is Rashi's approach, let's say you have a fruit dessert. The fruit, generally, at the time, the minute was, you have a bowl of fruit that's brought after you finish the meal. Now you're sitting around on the table and you're playing chess or something. After the meal, you put out a bowl of fruit, people eating from the fruit. Suppose you bring the bowl of fruit in the middle of the su'uda. Tu'unim bracha, bein lifneihem, bein le'achareihem, you would make a bracha before, and you would make a bracha after, even if you haven't yet, you haven't said now, and you're going still to say Birkat HaMazon. This is all Rashi's pshat. Tosfos argues on every last part of Rashi's assertion, but from beginning to end. He says, first of all, it's utterly absurd to say that Varma Boy Machmata Suda is to tell me that they're coming with a lafeta tapat. Because then you're simply repeating a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Toshu Ikar, Vimot Vila, Mevokimam Ikar, Uputrimet Atafel. I need somebody to teach me that. In the Su'udah, how could I mean, how could I mean that? This has got to be a new din of Su'udah. And this business of not making a brocha corona on a Danish after a meal? After you said Birkat HaMazon? Where would that come from? What possible tour is there of a brocha corona in that case? It's wild. And Vorem Avoyim, that we're meant to come after the soda, if you're going to paskin that the fruit that's brought in the middle of the meal, is you're going to need a bracha even afterwards because of the fact that it's brought usually after the meal, would be paskining shaloka halacha, because we always paskin like Ravuna against Rav Sheshes. Whoever it is, why would we paskin like Rav Sheshes? You'd be saying that Rav Sheshes was right against Ravuna the Makam before. So he disagrees with Rashi all the way, top to bottom, and explains that Dvorim on Boim Machmata Suda does not mean that they're eaten literally together with the bread, because and it is rise from this later on. It says, including any Maaseh Kederan. It says Beferush, which would include Kish, for instance, right? So the only question over here is that we are talking about something which comes Machmat HaSeuda, meaning that, generally speaking, these are brought together with a su'udah that has pot in it. Those are all called boy machmat su'udah, betoch su'udah. Okay, but in those cases, you don't require a bracha, he says, neither, even if you ate them separately. You don't have to eat them together with pot to be an ikar and a tafel. They are, the pot defines the nature of the su'udah. Since you normally wouldn't be eating these outside of a su'uda, which is kavua al pot, so therefore any type of dish that you don't bring casually in front of a person, you bring it to a person as part of a meal, then that meal is defined by the fact that you generally wash for a meal. That's what a meal means. And therefore, you would be potter on them because they're part of a su'udat pot, not because of their coming lelafet et hapot. That's a completely different Hagdarah. And the question over here of Achara Suda certainly doesn't mean things that were eaten in the middle of the Suda that were meant to be brought Achara Suda, which would be Keneged the Halacha, would be passing like Rav Sheshet. It means literally after the Suda. And you're talking about using the Birkat HaMazon. If you had brought them in the middle of the Suda, you would certainly pot them with Birkat HaMazon. Again, all of this we'll review in our review on Tuesday, Bezrat Hashem. Shalu et Ben Zoma. They asked Ben Zoma, Mipnei Ma Amru, Devarim Abaim Machmat HaSuda Betoch HaSuda, Einam Tu'unim Bracha Lo Lifnehem V'Lo L'Achareihem. Why is it that there's no need for Bracha It's the bread that potters the Seuda. So if that's true, I mean, bread potters Coca-Cola, right? It's part of the Seuda, or water. Why wouldn't it potter wine? You're saying that anything that's coming, Machmata Seuda is potter, and yet we always make a bracha on wine that we bring in the middle of the Seuda, and we don't use the pot to potter it. It's an interesting point. If I'm just drinking down the things that I eat, so why would I make a bracha? It's definitely part of a Seuda. Who ever heard of a Seuda without having some kind of liquid at the Seuda? That's the power of suggestion. It's a good thing we weren't talking about urination again. A mile ahead.
That's dangerous sleeping.
So what about yayin? So he answered, "Shine yayin, the gurim bracha la'atzmo." And here was the famous Rashi we spoke about last night, which I told you Rashi references yesterday. The uniqueness of the bracha of yayin is not the chashivut of the bracha of yayin, which would be potter to the pot, but rather the chashivut of the yayin is the fact that the birkat yayin stands as something that is mechayev you to drink the wine, which is unheard of anywhere else. You want to make a bracha, birkat hamazon, you have to drink wine and make a bracha on the wine. You want to make a birkat chatanim, you have to make a bracha on wine. I don't want wine, and that doesn't matter. So in other words, the wine is never bottled to a seuda, because it's more important than even your desire to eat or drink. It can be koveya itself. And therefore, we won't be mevatelet to the pot. That's how Rashi learned. There are other Rishonim who learned kipshuto. It's very chashuv a bracha. And since Chazal were koveya chashuv a bracha on it, therefore, pot won't potter it. Which is sort of just, it's sort of arbitrary. I mean, yeah, that's what you say. I mean, maybe don't say that. I mean, who cares what the level of the chashivut of the bracha is? Therefore, Rashi is saying you can't see wine as purely a function of eating. And since it's not purely a function of eating, it's never bottled to a seuda, which is just about eating.
Can it be this, like the king of Hanahana?
That is their svara, but that's, again, arbitrary. No, it's your determination. That's the way it is. And if I say it's not the way it is, go show me that's an important point. It's not mechayev me in any way. This is mechayev you in terms of the svara of what a seuda is. Gentlemen, a pleasure as usual. No, Richie! Don't go!